This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to what I'm going to call a Wild Wild West Wednesday edition of Bow Ties and Bullshit, your two birds on a bat podcast for the day. Coming to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Don't forget to meet at Patios, whether it's pre- or post-game, for your fun, especially during Cardinal season, although they do have some things going on in the off-season to try to enhance their business. So I would check it out if I were you, as it's always a good time. Couldn't do the show without my good friend Randy Green from InnovativeCompanies.com. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman who takes his work very seriously. And just you can't make somebody something they're not. And what this guy is a tremendously great human being that is honest, believes in what he does, and wants to take care of people, and thinks that if you tell somebody you're going to do something, you should do it. And isn't that the kind of guy you want on your side? Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. The construction team, heating and cooling team, and the electric team are ready to go. During the holidays, we always give thanks to Randy and his staff for all that they do for their community. Don't forget their 15% discount for all first responders and our military. Just show your proper ID and they'll get you taken care of. That's Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. Well, it was an interesting morning as due to a scheduling snafu here, there was a double book, and I thought I was going to just take care of something else and not do a show today, and then some studio time opened up, and I had gotten a text when I had to send out that I couldn't do the show today, and he was very upset, and that's my friend and yours, Mo's Algorithm. So I thought, you know what, I better find some studio time, because he's got something to say, so I'm going to bring him in. What's going on, Mo's?
Hey, Jim, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. I've had an interesting morning having some back and forth with some people about the whole Mad Bum thing. And something that hit me last night, and I tweeted it out, and it's kind of taken on a little bit of a life of its own, was Cardinal fans scream and holler that they want us to be more like analytical-driven organizations. You know, take, for example, the Dodgers. You know, they have a different lineup all the time. It's completely analytically driven. I believe it's been reported and confirmed that Roberts doesn't even make the lineup out. Somebody up in an office makes it out and sends it down to him based on the matchups. Okay?
Yep.
And we need to be more like the Dodgers, more like the Dodgers, more like the Dodgers. Well, Gerrit Cole signs a monster contract, picks the Yankees over the Dodgers. So the Dodgers turn their attention to who? Madison Bumgarner. Who all the Cardinal fans say, I don't want. He's washed up. He's too old. Okay. Now it's, well, we want Bumgarner, but just not for that money. So I brought up the analyst, you know, so do you want to drive a Mercedes or do you want to drive a Honda Accord? The Honda Accord's fine, but it's not a Mercedes. And people say, well, a Honda Accord is more reliable than a Mercedes. Well, that may be true. But when the Mercedes is running at top speed, you get a Mercedes-type experience. So, but in the end, my whole thing here is you want to be like the Dodgers, except for when the Dodgers are doing something that you personally don't agree with. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a little biased. They're picking and choosing when you want to be like another organization. To not want to spend, say, $20 million a year on Madison Bumgarner, to me, is silly. when you're totally okay with a 38-year-old catcher getting $20 million this year.
Well, I think you and I will disagree on, I think there's different things at play there. Like, they wouldn't give a normal 38-year-old catcher $20 million a year. So just like the Pujols thing, I'll disagree with you on that. I think it's different. And again, it would be completely different if he couldn't play. Now, that being said, I think I know the other part you were going to with not everybody ages the same. And again, I would adhere to you to tell me who Madison Bumgarner is from a number standpoint, like if there's any reason to believe that he might be okay here. And one of the things that I thought was interesting yesterday in my conversation with Ron, and I was dying to ask you, and that's why I'm glad we were able to do this today. The one thing that everybody says about Bumgarner is, well, he's a much better pitcher at home. And I'm like, okay, well, half his games are going to be at home in Busch Stadium. And haven't we already established that Busch Stadium's not a great hitter's park?
Yep.
And it's where right-handers go to die. And so he's probably hell on left-handers anyway, right? So wouldn't that all even itself out at home? And for that matter, who the hell wants to pitch in Milwaukee? Who the hell wants to pitch in Cincinnati? I don't care if it's Madison Bumgarner or anybody. So what's the difference?
Yeah, for sure. There's not, and the craziest part about this, the whole he's too old argument. He is a year older than Gerrit Cole. A year. Like, and this guy has been amazing outside of the last 2 years where he's been good. He's not been what he was his first 7 years. But like, for a decade, this guy has been unbelievable. And now you don't want to spend $100 million on him. But a team went out and spent $324 million on a guy who's been good for 2 years. Like, Gerrit Cole in Pittsburgh was not anything special. And he goes to Houston, figures something out at age 27, and at age 29, he cashes in on $324 million. So now you have Madison Bumgarner, who was elite as elite gets for the first 7 years. And over the last two, he's been dealing with some injuries and not been as amazing as he was. That's how I'll put that. And so now you don't want to spend $100 million on a 30-year-old pitcher who's been as elite as they come his whole career? I won't understand it. I don't get it. And to argue that he's too old is crazy to me.
Okay, so that's a question then. Have we conditioned the modern-day fan? And I'm talking about, and I don't mean this in a let's get in an argument, you know, millennial, Generation X, boomer argument. That's not my point. I'm talking about the new fan that's coming up. Have we conditioned them that it's all downhill after 30?
Yeah, yeah. And it's this all-in mentality that just because a guy wasn't very good after 30, now all of them are. And it's just not true. It's not true. For the large majority, sure, they do tend to downgrade after age 30, but like that isn't always in a straight line. Like we've seen with Adam Wainwright last year, like he was okay, and nobody expected that at 37 years old. Like I said it yesterday on Twitter, I would hand Madison Bumgarner every penny that the Cubs gave you, Darvish, and not think twice about it.
I'm gonna give I guess whatever kind of example you want to give, but you know, I would say Justin Verlander in his age 34 season in Detroit, when he was traded to Houston, you know, he was available, and some people started saying, "Oh, I don't know that I'd touch Justin Verlander. Yeah, I think it's over. You know, he's still good, but he's not his dominant self, and it's all downhill. And I think I can't, you know, I'll be honest with you and tell you, I'm not great with these numbers. The FIP, F-I-P, I'm not 100% even sure what that is. But it was over 4. Oh, his FIP's over 4 now. It's, you know, it's been trending that direction. It was 384 last year. It's 407 this year. Well, he gets traded to Houston, and it drops down to 2.6, 2.7, 3.2. And we're back in the Cy Young Awards, and we're winning Cy Young Awards, and we're doing some amazing things at age 36.
And I wanted him that trade deadline. I want to throw that out. I wanted him that trade deadline because he was controlled for another year after that. I'm like, look, there are things here in play that are not
analytics. I remember that.
Right?
Yeah.
There are things in play. Now, you have to think as humans, how are we most motivated to go to work, right? Madison Bumgarner has played on a Giants team these last 2 years that is abysmal, absolutely terrible. What do you think Justin Verlander was doing in Detroit, playing for an unbelievably bad team? Like, I get it. They're professionals. They want to go out and do the best they can, but you're only motivated by so much. And when you know your team is absolute trash from the minute you step out on the mound opening day, how motivated are you really to be the best you can be every time you go out? It's only human nature. It's not to degrade anybody as a professional, but look at these two instances where these two guys played for awful teams and weren't exactly as great as they could be. I think there's something to that, and I think the team that signs Bumgarner is going to be very happy with whatever they get out of him for the money they sign him for.
Well, that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today, whatever team signs him and how it relates to that team, because I think that's the discussion that has me in a tizzy, if we want to use funny words today. But I'm curious about this. So I'm anxious to get your thoughts on whoever that team is and how it affects them, regardless of what happens. Before we do that, we want to remind you that we are twobirdsonabat.com. We're going to ask you to go to the website there. And first thing we're going to do is click subscribe to the show. We'd like you to do so. It just takes 30 seconds. It's free, and we would greatly appreciate it. Check out our Two Birds bloggers there as well. You guys will enjoy their work. If you can find us on social media, at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter, we're going to ask everybody to follow us there. Hit us up on Facebook by simply typing in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. When you see the pinned post, if you guys would like it, comment on it, and share it, that would be great. That's how we reach more Cardinal fans out there and bring them into our community. Find us on Instagram at Two Birds on a Bat Show as well. And, of course, we are part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free today. You guys will enjoy that. Can't thank our partners enough. Adam's Smokehouse, best barbecue in St. Louis, folks. Find it on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. You guys are going to love the atmosphere when you go in there and check it out. But if you need to take it to go, they can do some big box lunch orders for your office. If you have an event that needs catering, you could do no worse than my friends at Adam's Smokehouse. I would love to make the turn at a golf tournament and see some ribs, that's for sure. Make sure you guys find out if you're in that zip code that they deliver to. But I do highly encourage that everybody gets down there, walks in, takes in the atmosphere. Say hi to Mike and his staff and tell them that your friends at Two Birds on the Bat sent you. That's Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. To DrKristenJacobs.com, happy holidays from her and her staff to all of you out there. As she reminds you, every day Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Just because it's cold outside doesn't mean you shouldn't be taking care of your skin. Check out Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness Center. You guys can see what she does. And it's not just for females, guys. She takes care of the fellas, too. Find out if there's something there she can help you with. But as she always says, take care of your skin, and every day should be Skin Cancer Awareness Day. That's DrKristenJacobs.com. And, of course, my good friends at Gators Baseball Academy, located in Missouri and Illinois. Go to GatorsBaseballAcademy.com with all their camps, clinics, training sessions for all those boys and girls out there that are trying to improve their game in the offseason. It is the offseason. It's time to get better. So make sure you give them a check out there and find out if there's a class or a clinic that's for you. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Okay, so, Mo, here was my thing. So now we're on to the next part of the conversation that's, well, I like Madison Bumgarner. I don't like him for 5 years and $100 million. And I say, well, you either like him or you don't. Well, that's not true. It'll hamstring us. Well, here's the deal, folks. All right? It doesn't matter. So let me tell you. So you're telling me that if Bumgarner would sign a three-year, $75 million deal, you'd do it, right? Oh, yeah, I'd do that. I mean, you either want him or you don't. It's the price of doing business. Okay? If you want a Mercedes, you got to pay for it. Otherwise, yeah, you get what you get.
If you want good players, you have to pay for good players. This is not a new concept. But this idea, like, did the Adam Wainwright contract ever hamstring them? And he didn't even pitch for years on end. Like, that's nuts. That is just silly to think that one $20 million contract in this day and age is going to hamstring an organization that is flush with cash. That's just nonsense. And this idea that the Cardinals don't have the money because they're at 160 to start this year, there are ways around that. There are things they can do. Hell, they don't even want Carlos Martinez anymore. There's $10 million you can free up. Like, just this is just nonsense. And it's the same crap every year. And now the fan base has bought into it. Like, that's the propaganda that Mo and them have been spewing for years that we all fought against. And now it feels like the majority of the fan base has bought in. Oh, God, no, We can't sign a long-term deal with anyone. That could potentially ruin years on end.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to take it another step further. Okay. And the reason for that is why. The reason for that is I'll give you one name, Dexter Fowler. That's why. That is why. So what's happened here is the Cardinals made a bad decision in signing him. Okay. Basically are blaming the fans for it, if I'm hearing things correctly, right? Or according to Bernie. Well, you wanted him, man. So they went out and gave you what you wanted. Okay. That's how we got here. Okay. So don't ever do it again, right? So that's number one. Number two, here's what I'm going to tell you. Whether you sign him to $10 or $20 million a year, the same thing's going to happen if he's no good. So it didn't matter. It's not going to matter. Well, we only paid him $15 million or $10 million, so now they're going to go out and get another player. No, they're not. They're not. It doesn't matter what you paid him. They're not.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, because look at Dexter Fowler. They're That's not right. going to go get an outfielder That's for money right. right now.
That's right. So it doesn't matter. If you get him, you get him. Okay. We're talking about a club that wouldn't cut Luke Gregerson. He made $4 million or whatever it was. Okay. They tried desperately to get something out of him. Okay. I mean, we're dealing with it, you know, all the way around. Okay. So as I look at this, I'm sitting here going, now, wait a minute. So we're not going to sign him because, and this is where it gets crazy, and I know you're going to love this. We're not going to sign him because we're going to wait on until we can get a really good player and sign him because that's what we do.
Really? Really? Is that what they did last winter when two elite young players were available?
And that's what I said. We had two of the most, like, you couldn't get a more perfect storm for last year. Like, they answered every position. Box. They answered every box. They weren't 30. They were 26. They were 26.
And we needed a third baseman or shortstop and a right fielder. Like, either one of them made sense and not a sniff.
Let me tell you something. In hindsight, Manny Machado being a dumbass and saying something stupid and doing something stupid probably never helped the Cardinals more so that they could say, oh, he doesn't fit our mold here, right? I mean, so then all they really had to do was fend off the questions about Bryce Harper. I mean, that's it, right? I mean,
like, I can't wrap my brain around this other than the fact that in 2017 and 2018, Madison Bumgarner was dealing with a couple injuries, not career limiting injuries, nothing that's going to nag on for too long. And he had a bit of a down season, right? He was a 1.6 win player in 2017, a 1.4 win player in 2018. Last year, the guy comes out, he starts 34 games, 207 innings, and he's a 3-win pitcher. Like, what has changed? He was a 3-win pitcher in 2013, a 3-win pitcher in 2014, a 5-win pitcher in 2015 and 16. What has changed? If the Giants would have went to Madison Bumgarner a winter ago or 2 winters ago and said, hey, buddy, we want to give you a 5-year, $100 million extension, everyone would have laughed them out of the building, including Madison Bumgarner. So what are we talking about right now? This guy was set to make Kershaw money. And now we're going, well, you know, like, he wasn't as elite as he was 5 years ago, so now we can't pay him much. He was very good last year. What are they doing? What is the argument here?
And here's my other question, okay? And this is the ultimate, let's just get down to brass tacks, okay? If he's not elite, then who is? Okay, and we know who they are right now, right? Like, we know who they are. Like, who's the guys? If you could have any pitchers, who would they be? I mean, obviously, you'd love to have Verlander. Obviously, you'd love to have Garrett Cole. You'd like to have Strasburg. We could go on. They're not available.
But here's what I'll say, Jim, and this is going to sound crazy, and I'll take the heat for this. I'm fine with it. I would much rather pay Madison Bumgarner what he's going to get right now and trust his track record than pay what Garrett Cole got and trust anything with his track record.
Oh, I agree with that 100%.
So yes, I'm saying I would rather have Madison Bumgarner than Garrett Cole.
That's right. Now, there's a logical discussion as a Cardinal fan. If you go to Cardinal fan and say, hey, I'm going to give you your choice. You can have Bumgarner for, let's even be realistic, like the rumor I heard he wants 5 and 115. Okay? Let's say 5 and 115. Or we'll go ahead and give you, you can take that Cole contract, 9 years, 324. I take the Bumgarner all day long. All day long.
Like I said, where I would start to maybe feel a little uncomfortable just for the Cardinals situation, like another team can pay them whatever they want. If they want to give Madison Bumgarner $200 million, I wouldn't flinch. Like if they're like, look, we want to give him a 6 year, $200 million, whatever, right? That's your choice. I feel like he's probably worth very elite money, but like I'm easily getting to the point of the Yu Darvish contract without question. No problem at all. And I would have rather have Bumgarner today than Yu Darvish then. Like this is to me, I can't believe he's not even signed if he's being this reasonable about what he expects.
Hmm. Yeah. Like the whole thing has me befuddled. I mean, I'm, Oh boy. I don't know what we're going to do here because I thought we were in a situation where we wanted guys that could play the game. But now what we have is people that are, you know, going to find a reason why a guy is not worth something. But yet then we're going to try to find, you know, there's been all kinds of guys, like I'm trying to think who was the pitcher that we both liked a couple years ago because he was a numbers darling, and we thought when he got away from wherever he was it Tyler Chatwood?
Yeah.
Remember that?
And I'll take the L on that. I've done it on Twitter.
I will too.
I was wrong. But like he didn't get paid much.
No,
like,
but my point is where I'm going with this though is wasn't he that look at his numbers? Like his numbers scream, get away from where he's at, and he's going to be fine. Remember that?
He was decent outside of Coors Field, and I thought, man, if he could just get outside of Coors permanently, he could probably be a really good addition to a rotation.
So, I guess where I'm going with this is it's more than numbers. To your point, okay, you have to look at the situation. Every situation is different. You know, and then far as the age goes, I mean, like I said, I've used one of our, like every, there's not a person out there that when I say this, that if you can turn your head or bury your head in the sand, but if we took your tact, okay, then we would have never signed Jim Edmonds, traded and signed for Jim Edmonds when he was 30 years old. He had his best, like he had unbelievable 5 years between 30 and 35 for the Cardinals, I believe.
How old was Scott Rolen?
I don't know. I could look it up.
This to me is almost head numbing. Like it just, they're just, now you're just trying to pick apart one of the best pitchers.
We got Rolen when he was 27. He was younger, a little bit younger, yeah. but still, all I'm saying is, you can use it as a guide if you want, but sometimes you got to go outside your, and here's the deal, man. You want to jump, if you want to go swimming, you got to jump in the pool. You know, and like somebody the other day, I'm going to tell you the truth, somebody the other day was bagging on the Rockies. Okay, somebody was bagging on the Rockies the other day. And I, you know, well, boy, you could be the Rockies. They've spent all this money and they've gotten nothing. And I'm like, well, but at least they're trying. They have a unique situation in Colorado. I don't know what they're going to ever do there about a pitching staff. Like, if you're a free agent pitcher, the only reason you're going there is if nobody else wants you. Or if they overpay for you, which is what they're going to have to do. Now, I think the Daniel Murphy was a bad idea. Like, I don't know why they did. Like, that was dumb. Like, they literally could have pulled up some guy from the minors there. Like, that was stupid. But other than that, like, the pitching thing, they're going to have to get creative there. So at least they're trying, though. You know? Yep. I would much rather have my team try and fail than sit back and keep regurgitating the same thing over and over again. But in the end, I'm telling you, the thing that's going to drive me the craziest is this notion of, no, I want to sit back and wait. You know what I mean? I don't, like, when have they ever done that?
Well, like, and isn't the idea of free agency to, like, get players that are better than the players you already have? if someone truly wants to argue that Madison Bumgarner isn't better than every starting pitcher on the Cardinals other than, say, Jack, then let's have that argument, because he is, flat out is, better than any pitcher they have outside of Jack Flaherty.
See, there's where – see, now that was going to be the last part of the discussion. So there's people going to go, what are you talking about? Did you see this? I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm going to be the fans. Are you crazy? Did you see Dakota Hudson last year? That's what they're going to say. You know how many wins he had?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the next coming of Mike Leake. Yeah, I did. So that's cool. I'm fine with that. I was always a Mike Leake fan. So Dakota Hudson will fit perfectly as a 3-4-5 guy for the rest of his career, because that's who he is. So that's fine. But he's not Madison Bumgarner, never will be.
Did you see Michaelis 2 years ago? Come on, man.
Yep, he was very good. The league caught up to him a little bit. He's the same 3-4 type starter that he will be the rest of his career. Not a 2, not a 1. They're not that. And I know I joked around calling him Cy Michaelis, and I had fun with it. You know, and his first year was very fun. Last year showed that when the league catches up to you, stuff happens. But Madison Bumgarner is better than every pitcher that they have in their entire organization other than Jack Flaherty, including a healthy Carlos Martinez.
Well, you see, why you got to jump me? I was going to be last. Okay, what about our hero, Waino? Waino was awesome, especially at home last year.
Yeah, whatever. You know where I stand on that situation.
All right, and then we have the perennial Cy Young candidate, Carlos Martinez, who has unbelievable stuff.
He does, but he's also not Madison Bumgarner. I mean, here's the thing, too. I'm just glancing at this. Last year was a perfect rebound year from Bumgarner from his injury-riddled years, where he had a K rate higher than his career rate and a walk rate lower than his career rate. Like, I don't know what else you want from him right now, other than the fact that he was probably bored out of his mind playing for one of the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah, I always wonder about that. Like, and see, listen, I'm going to say this too to everyone out there. You can't guarantee that part of the theory of the whole, well, he's playing for a shit club, a shit organization, whatever. He's going to come over here and be re-energized. Like, I understand that you can't guarantee that part of it. But again, we come back to what's always, there's nothing guaranteed in any of these deals. People always go, well, it's a risk. They're all a risk. Nobody's not a risk. You tell me what free agent you're going to sign or what player you're going to trade for that's not a risk. I mean, listen, if you want to tell me, okay, Mike Trout's not a risk. Okay, I'll give you that one. I'll give you Mike Trout. You know,
he's still one pitch away from his career being over.
Right. That's my point, man. It's all, so now we're back to, wouldn't you rather him try to do something?
Here, I'll give you the best case scenario of risk, right? Was Prince Fielder ever a risk to anyone? When we all looked at Prince Fielder and how he destroyed everything in Milwaukee and was just incredible in Detroit, did we ever go, oh God, that guy's a big risk? No. No, because the guy was never hurt. And then all of a sudden he started getting neck injuries, and then boom, his career's over. Like that, in Texas, it's over. So, like, what more could you have wanted than a guy like him who played every single day up until the point he didn't do that anymore? And it ends for all of them. So, it's crazy to me, and I don't understand it. I would take Madison Bumgarner in a heartbeat, and he would improve the Cardinals. He would put them on a higher level. Like, we talked in the playoffs about the rotations around the playoffs, and the Cardinals could not stack up even close. Well, he helps that. I sure feel better going into a short series knowing Jack and Bumgarner are going game 1-2. Thank you. And this, I also want to make another point about Bumgarner being probably bored out of his mind. We're talking about a guy who did nothing but win World Series his first 5 years. Like, so he's probably a bit spoiled in the winning department.
You know, it's funny for you to say that too, because I heard, I'll give her credit for that. I heard, I was listening to Michelle Smallman fill in for Jamie Rivers today, and I don't want to say this for sure, but I think what they were doing was they were taking two different sides of an argument, because she was fired up. Like, I don't know if it was her real opinion or she was taking the opinion, but it looked like they were playing a game, although she seemed awful fired up, so I think it might have been her real opinions, but basically fed up with why the Cardinals wouldn't go all in and try to win a division, especially with what's going on in our division. Cubs are down. Milwaukee's obviously going to be down. The Reds, while going for it, are still the Reds, but there's your competition, right? Pirates, nowhere to be found. Yep. So why wouldn't you improve on what you had last year? And I'm looking at all this and I'm going, you know, for anybody that thinks pitching's not a problem, then, I mean, what league are you paying attention to? Because she brought up an unbelievable point. Number one, and I'm going to, her point, when let me say this. Let me finish that thought. Like if you want to guarantee, like, do you think for 1 minute that there's anything guaranteed about what we have that's going to go on here next year? You want to, like, if you want to start putting out theories and flyers, okay, what you have is a guy that I think we would all agree Flaherty's a dude. I think we would all agree on that. Okay? We'll see what happens this year after putting all them innings on him last year. We'll see what happens. Again, I have no reason not to believe that he's not going to be very good. But I'm not, like, this Hudson thing, we'll see what happens. Carlos Martinez, give me a break. Like, I love Carlos Martinez. Personally, I love him. Okay? I have no idea what we're going to get from Carlos Martinez. I wouldn't bet a dollar on what we're going to get from Carlos Martinez. I hope he's a Cy Young winner, but I wouldn't bet a dollar on it. Okay?
Yep.
If you really think, like, if you expect Adam Wainwright to be as good as he was last year, I can tell you there's one person that definitely thinks he's going to be better than he was last year, and that's him. Okay? But if you're a betting man, you certainly wouldn't bet on it. And I can tell you, another guy that you don't know what you're going to get is Miles Michaelis. Okay?
Yep.
So my point is, so now you're telling me all of a sudden, pitching's not a problem? Well, it might not be a problem, but it might be. Okay? So why not try to get better? But what I liked about what she said was, for all these people that want to act like we went, guys, we were in the Final Four last year. Yep. You exploded on offense for one game in a game seven and then got swept the next four games. You were that close to not being a Final Four team. And that, but now people say, well, doesn't matter. You were a Final Four team. So I don't know. Like I said, to me, that's where I'm at in this. Why would you not try to get better? That's all I'm saying.
And anyone who thinks Madison Bumgarner doesn't make them better should probably just stop watching baseball.
Well, I knew you were going to be excited today.
It's crazy. It's crazy to me. He's 30. He's got a lot left in him.
And 5 years only takes him to 35, which is about at the end of the rope for people's sanity. It isn't like 37, 38. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Just being honest.
Yep, 5 years, 120, just sign him up. Get it over with.
I love the way you took. Well, hey, listen, Mo, thanks for coming on the shortened edition today. Where can people follow you?
On Facebook at Mo's Algorithm and on Twitter at MOZ_algorithm.
All right, brother. Talk to you next week.
See you, Jim.
My man and yours, Mo's Algorithm. He was a little charged up today, and I love it. So let's take it on. I got a few minutes here and wasn't able to get Kyle today, and I know some people are going to be upset about that, but I was able to get my man Bruno. Let's see what he's got for us. What's going on, Bruno?
Hey, how you doing?
Well, this shortened edition here, I at least wanted to try to get you guys in for a few minutes. Mo was really spirited. He is as fed up with Cardinal fans as he can be, and I got to tell you, I am a little too. And
you mean spirited like drunk?
Well, no, not spirited drunk. He was spirited like he is about as frustrated with Cardinal fans, you know, like, do you want to try to win or not? You know, and I'm agreeing with him. I think the Kool-Aid is wearing off on everybody. We've got Cardinal fans everywhere protecting the Cardinals' money. Like, I am so shocked by this. I don't know what's going on. And, you know, I want to get your take on it. And the whole Bumgarner thing has been such an interesting topic for me. And I love it when I talk to guys that I think are smarter than me when it comes to certain things. And I know guys like Mo have researched it to death. And, you know, people are wanting to write off Madison Bumgarner, and guys like Mo say, what are you writing off here? And he'll give you the reasons why it's not such a big, big risk. Now, that being said, I'm curious where you stand on this. I maintain that all players are a risk.
Well, yeah, obviously all players are a risk. I think we've been hinted to with, like, the Brett Cecil deal that he's sitting on the 60-day DL all year long, where the Cardinals are happy to have him be because they've purchased insurance on him. So they're probably actually saving $4 or $5 million a year on him right there. So it mitigates the risk a little bit for that. I have seen where people have tried to say, you don't know all the costs because they're actually purchasing insurance on these players, which makes them even more expensive. They're purchasing insurance on the players so that they have more payroll flexibility. It's not like they're forced to do this and they suddenly can't afford as much because they get insurance. The entire purpose of the insurance is to make them more rich. So I don't really count that for them. So yeah, all players have risk. I actually got into a lengthy discussion the other day about Bumgarner. Would be perfectly happy to see the guy in a Cardinals uniform. Really, really do not care about if the DeWitts have $20 million less to their name over the next 5 years. I realize that he may not live up to the calculated performance of what his contract is, especially in the latter years. That's the deal with big contracts, and that's one of the problems people have, is that you might sign a guy, in theory, to an 8-year deal, and what you're trying to do out of that is you're trying to capitalize on those early years to get your wins out of it, and then bank on inflation and the latter years. Yeah, you're going to have to eat costs. I mean, the Nationals just signed Strasburg for all that money, and they've deferred over $25 million a year to the 3 years after he's gone. So that's how that works, because they're able to take that deferred money and invest it and try to have inflation kind of cool down the rising cost of it and try to actually make it work so that they're that it's not as big a bite to the team. But the player still gets their money, and he's still getting a whole lot of secured money after a time when his career might be over. So that's where it works as a win-win. And I don't think people really understand that concept as much. When it comes to someone like Bumgarner, okay, so maybe he plays these 5 years, and maybe they're an Adam Wainwright type of 5 years, which would not be good. But we just saw that the Cardinals afforded the Adam Wainwright contract and did pretty well over that time. It didn't cost the Cardinals to have Adam Wainwright basically blow his entire contract when he was, I think his was $5.95 or something like that when he signed after he was an ace. And those 5 years were almost a complete loss, but not for the team, because teams can afford to absorb this kind of money. But we've been so scared of what baseball was like in the early 2000s or late 1990s that now all of a sudden we think any Al Martin type of deal, such as it sank the Pirates for a few years, is going to sink your franchise. And it's not how it goes. It's the question is, for a team like the Cardinals, who have been a fringe playoff team for years now, mostly on the outside looking in, thank goodness this last year they finally got into the last minute. But the question is, how much are you willing to spend to get that last win or two that puts you in the playoffs, that puts you ahead? And so with a person like Bumgarner coming in here, okay, you're right. He's probably never going to be the ace he used to be again. But is he going to be better than the fifth starter you're planning on rolling out there? Is the Cardinals' starting pitching depth so rich that you don't think Madison Bumgarner is still going to be one of the top five options over the next few years? I think it's pretty fair to say that he's going to help the team get wins. And when you have a team that is right at that margin, right at that playoff line, what does one or two wins mean to you? Are you going to be happy that the Cardinals saved $20 million? Oh, they went 87 and 75. They missed the playoffs by 2 games, but thank God they didn't pay Madison Bumgarner to replace Joe Schmo in the number 5 spot in the rotation. It's not how I look at it anymore. It's not how every single deal doesn't need to be a win. What needs to be a win is the overall team performance. So if you need those last few wins, by God, overpay for them. I don't have many years left on this planet. Give me the players I need to see them in the playoffs.
I love it. Interestingly enough, looking at Wainwright, his 30-year-old season was probably one of the rougher ones he had in that run, where his ERA climbed up to almost 4, which would be similar to where Bumgarner's at, but then bounced back with 2 unbelievable seasons at 31 and 32.
If I remember right, that 30-year-old season was basically his Tommy John recovery season. right? And I think his velocity was a little low there, and he was still trying to get back into the groove. And a person like Wainwright relies on control more than anything else, and that's what you lose when you're sitting on, you know, not able to throw it. But he's actually on the downside of the projections for what Bumgarner would bring you. He did not have as good early career, mostly because of injuries, that Madison did. And Madison compares pretty well to pitchers who are in his stature for his success in the early career. But the big thing about Bumgarner and why you don't worry about him as much, he's not a guy who's had elbow or shoulder troubles. He's, you know, didn't he get hurt playing basketball or something like that?
No, he fell off a dirt bike.
Yeah.
And then got hit on the last game of spring training. I think the day I painfully am aware of this. I believe he was dominating that year in spring training and looked as good as he'd ever looked. And on the last spring training start, took a line drive off the pitching hand.
Yeah, of course.
So, and you know,
that's how it goes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been an interesting thing, you know, and again, for me, I got to ask you, I got to go to the Patterson Tire and Service text line here to see, to get your thoughts on this. So let's go to it. It's the Patterson Tire and Service text line. That's Patterson Tire and Service. They're a whole lot more than a tire store, located in Granite City, Illinois, 618-797-6711, located at 3718 Highway 111. As I say that, you know, the reason that we focus on that is because, you know, they've been doing it for so long down there. And when you hear Patterson Tire and Service, you think, oh, brakes, tires, they do such a great job. But they do a great job with all automotive repair. So give them an opportunity if that, you know, if that check engine light's on or you need some service or, you know, it's time to get the maintenance done and all that. They can, you know, they can take care of your vehicle there as well. And you've trusted them so much in the past. Keep going to them. And if you haven't given them an opportunity, try them. I know that you'll love them. They've been around for a very long time. You don't stay in that business if you're not honest and do great work. For that amount of years, that's for sure. They're out there, and you can try different ones, but that's who I'd give my opportunity to. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. So let me ask you this question. This is from one of our texters, and we touched on it before, so I want to get your thoughts. It doesn't matter that they agreed with me. Couldn't agree with you more on Bumgarner. But even if he doesn't have his best season, is he a safer option to have than anyone else on the roster besides Flaherty? And ultimately, I think what they're asking and what my question to you is he, like, if you sign Bumgarner, would he be your number two? I think you may have alluded earlier, maybe your three, but if he's not your two, then who is your two?
I think of him as a three because I think of it in terms of my rule has always been, if you're a top 30 pitcher in baseball, you're an ace. So you can have, you know, Koufax and Kershaw on the same rotation, and you've got two number ones, essentially, in my book.
Sure.
I think of him at number three because I think he's probably safely in that top 90 range that you would do for a pitcher. You know, Michaelis had a rough season last year. A lot of his rough season was probably due to the juice ball not working out for, you know, non-strikeout pitchers like Michaelis is compared to other pitchers. I would put him in a similar position of Michaelis, where they're both probably in that 2-3 range. But Michaelis looked really good in the playoffs. I'm pretty excited about him having a solid season coming up.
I am too. I would agree with that.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter to me which one is two or which one is three, but I have a little bit more security in Miles at this point than you do with a Bumgarner who has missed time the past two or three years, which aren't pitching injuries per se, but it is, okay, let's see where your location is. Let's see where your velocity is, you know, for these guys as they're getting older. So reliability for the Cardinals, though, once you get past Michaelis with no Bumgarner, we're hoping for, you know, next would be Dakota Hudson, and gee, let's hope that he doesn't have some sort of sophomore downfall that we've seen many times in the past. Adam Wainwright has to be back at the fountain of youth to see if he can be 1 year older and still be a league average pitcher. And then Carlos Martinez might start. as far as reliability, as far as things that don't keep you up at night, yeah, Madison Bumgarner would actually, everybody talks about the questions he has, but he'd be one of the more secure options the Cardinals have at this point. But imagine him being on his game, Carlos being on his game, Flaherty being second half Flaherty, which or something near it, second half Flaherty, because I doubt we'll ever see a run like that again. And Michaelis having the sort of season we saw that he was capable of his rookie year. Well, not his rookie year, but his first year with St. Louis, and in the playoffs last year, where he was clutch against good hitting teams. He was very good. Now, all of a sudden, you can see how you can get lightning in a bottle from it. You can see just the opposite. Carlos still can't start. Bumgarner's fading away. Michaelis just isn't what he was anymore. Flaherty will never be able to duplicate those results. But at least you have the ceiling potential of, wow, this could be a dominant staff in 2020.
Isn't sooner or later, I mean, I've kind of said this once, but I mean, don't you, like, how do I put this? In the end, everybody wants this warm, fuzzy, secure feeling. Don't you have to take risks? Listen, this Gerrit Cole thing, everybody acts like it's a lock, right? Like, it's a risk. It's a big risk. You know, all the Yankees can do it. Well, number one, they could all do it. But I understand risk, but let me ask you this question, okay? If I told you right now, you can pick one of these two contracts, right now, the contract that Gerrit Cole signed, you can have that one. Cardinals will take it. Or would you take Bumgarner 5 years, $120 million? Which one would you take?
Well, 5-120.
Oh, okay.
I think it's 5-100 is the rumored one, which is pretty different than 5-120. But Gerrit Cole is going to get you in the playoffs in the next two or three seasons if he stays healthy, for sure. And I just don't care about their money. I just don't care about their money, because we're not talking about a break-even point. We're talking about less profit. We're not talking about, gosh, if they lose money, think about the fire sale they'll have to do just to break even and it could sink the franchise. No, we're talking about, hey, that $80 million margin they have next year, it might drop to 50. Yeah, and I'm good with that from my end personally. So yeah, I mean, Gerrit Cole would be extremely exciting to have. I would have jumped for joy, even though part of me would have been worried, had the news actually come out that he was a Cardinal last night, for sure.
For that for amount sure. of money?
I'd be, it almost doesn't matter what amount of money. I'm a fan. I'm not their financial analyst looking to get the highest percentage of profit margin I can. I'm a fan. I want him on the team. And because I know that the Cardinals could get basically, well, they could get right up to the not the salary cap, but the luxury tax threshold. They could go right up to that luxury tax threshold, still be a very profitable team, be a much more successful team. When we talk about, oh, it's not within the Cardinals budget, I criticize the budget itself, not the player not being good enough to fill with that budget, if that makes sense. Like, I'm sorry if he's not in the budget, but the budget is lower than it needs to be. And that's where my personal analysis comes in for the moves that they need to make. I've told you before, if the Cardinals wanted to do something this year, they're going to have to bite the bullet and jump payroll tremendously, because they've got these contracts on the books for the next 2 years. That's the way it's going to be. They either have to stand pat, where everybody gets a year older and declines, and they have to hope that miracles happen and big-time rookies come up and are as good as advertised from day one, or they need to spend the money. Well, when you're talking about security and you're talking about risks, I love risks, but if the Cardinals have had these years of all risks, where they will say, oh, yeah, well, Grichik's going to develop and Piscotty's going to develop, and that's going to be our future that we're going to bank on here, without much to back it up. They've had these years of, well, we're going to bank on Yachty not to decline and Wainwright not to decline, and there's no plan B if something goes wrong. I love risks with high upside potential. That doesn't mean you don't need to have the depth to back it up. And that's what, when we've had the conversation of, if the Cardinals are a borderline playoff team, you want them to push to say, how do I add two or three wins to this? Because really the risk is we're not going to make our goals. So you push, even if that means risks, or even if that means more security in whatever it is, you take a risk, but you also look to back it up in some sort of way that if it doesn't work out, you have some sort of decent backup plan, some sort of Edmund backup plan. And they really haven't done a whole lot of that in recent years. They've been very, very, very safe in a lot of areas, but with little upside. And in other areas, they've had bigger upside, but nothing behind it. And last year with the starting rotation, we were pitching Michael Walker down the stretch in a playoff run. And he actually did pretty decently. And no one could see that coming. But we were Michael Walker or any injury away from basically having nothing to put out there when we were trying to beat two other teams down the line. And people forget, I think, how close that playoff race ended up being. The Cardinals won it on the last day. So, sorry for the rambling.
No, it's fine. Like I said, the whole thing to me, again, I'm in a mode right now where I'm just shocked that, like I said, I just think people, have now changed to this theory of, and again, it's the one that I know that we're going to talk about tomorrow with Benji. It's just like all of a sudden now, where is this theory coming from? Don't spend a day because let's wait and get somebody else. When have they done that?
No, I've never done it.
I mean, they haven't.
It comes up every year. They've had a couple of ill-advised contracts. The Carpenter extension was an ill-advised contract. The Goldschmidt deal does not look great after his first season in there. Michaelis didn't perform up to expectations. You have your Dexter Fowlers, your Brett Cecils, and you have all of these deals that have been some and some disasters. But the Cardinals were a first-place team last year.
Sure.
So they've proven, even with all of these bad deals, it didn't sink the franchise.
No.
Therefore, if it's not really hurting them in that sense, if they're still able to make the playoffs in that sense, it's not, oh no, Madison Bumgarner is going to break the camel's back and we're going to be a 65-win team in 2 years. It's not how a team, as profitable as the Cardinals are, they're able to eat many more bad deals than people think they can eat. And that's why, I was not enthused about the Cardinals offseason. It seemed pretty clear they weren't going after anyone. I'll still think they're not going after anyone. I think if the Cardinals want to save money, just don't bother going to the winter warm-up or winter meeting, right?
That save you some money.
Seventh in the bidding, right?
Well, I don't know what it costs for them to go there, but they could cut some budget.
Right. Yeah,
that's
he could
good
pay
stuff.
A minor leaguer a few years, few minor leaguers salaries next year on what they spent not getting any deals done at the winter meeting. So
that's awesome. Hey, that's a great point. Hey, listen, I'm really sorry that we're short today, and I don't have time to let you talk a little bit more about your about what you're doing with Cards Annals, because I think it's Cards Annals. I think it's unbelievable. I just think it's such a great project. But for all of our listeners out there to follow you and learn more about what you're doing, how do they do so?
Yeah, at STL Cards Cards. I'm all over Birds on the Black. Just had the new Ted Simmons article come up about what his Hall of Fame means, the Cardinals' incredible run as far as history goes for the team. That could be something that maybe next week we spend 4 hours on, is Ted Simmons and the amazing history that Cardinals fans have gotten through Hall of Famers. Check me out on Twitter, because I'm going to have a lot of snarky things to say every single time the Cardinals don't get a player this week.
I love it. I mean, hey, the off season's back too in a flat. I mean, this is the off season I missed. Holy moly. Thank goodness.
Thank God.
All right, my man, I'll talk to you later. You take care. See you next week.
Have a good one.
All right, my man, Bruno, quick show today. And we do appreciate those guys working around my crazy schedule here to be able to get that in. We'll get Kyle back next week. I know everybody misses him, but want to thank those guys for joining us today, and definitely want to thank you guys for joining us as well. Don't forget, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. Make sure you check out our Two Birds bloggers. Hit us up on our social media sites at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter, Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook, and of course, Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. LineupMediaGroup.fm, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile devices, where you can find us as well. Couldn't do the show without our sponsors. Of course, we come to you from the Patio Studios, your original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. As always, special thanks to Randy and Stephanie Green, that wonderful family that runs InnovativeCompanies.com, residential, commercial, industrial. They've got you covered. Adam Smokehouse, best barbecue in St. Louis, folks. Get over to Watson Road and try some of that great barbecue. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Box lunch orders, catering. dine-in, delivery to certain zip codes. They got it all, including the best barbecue in St. Louis. That's Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. It's the off-season. Time to get better. Make sure you check them out, whether you're in Missouri or Illinois. Now two locations. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. And, of course, my friend, Dr. KristenJacobs.com. Going to have her in studio Monday. I'm excited about that to get see what's going on with her in the off-season. Remember, every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. That's DrKristenJacobs.com. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat and my good friends at Bow Ties and Bullshit, let's go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.